Hello and welcome to another episode of Purple Comedy. It's John Burns here speaking to you from a snowbound Inverness just before Christmas here in 2010. We're all getting very excited and Austin's put his stocking up. We've got a great little show for you. Later on in the show I'll be speaking via the miracle of Skype to the Irish comedian Finbar Coveney. I hope he's got his name right. But before that, we've actually got Purple Comedy's first film review after I went to the pictures last night and I saw the film Another Year. So I'll be reviewing that, and also, what have we else? Oh yes, after we've spoken to Finbar, we've got a little guest snippet from Cornball Willycock III, who will be discussing his views about the American penal system. And as you can imagine, you know, he's got his usual fairly strong views on this subject. I just thought I'd have a little chat to you. On the news, talking about the news. Was I talking about the news? Oh, I don't know. I'm talking about the news now anyway. What's been on the news as a bit of a scandal, really, is that the wheelchair-bound Jody McIntyre was rioting. Well, he was standing up for his rights. Well, I suppose he was sitting down for his rights, really, wasn't he? But protesting against the rise in tuition fees when he was grabbed from his wheelchair, dragged to the floor and beaten up by some police officers. Now, Purple Comedy, we like to be fair about these things, you know. And some people have been outraged by this. But I'd just like to point out that the police, really, to be quite honest, were just... they were actually upholding his rights. Imagine this. They burst through the crowd. And here he is, in his wheelchair. And they're suddenly faced with a dilemma. Because if they don't beat him up, they're not treating him equally, are they? That man, despite being disabled, has as much right as everybody else to be beaten up by the police when he's rising. So, obviously, I did see the film. They dragged him to the floor. Now, I have to say that as far as I could see, they didn't kick him while he was on the floor. Now, to show him full respect, they should have battered him senseless, in my opinion.
Purple Comedy at the Movies.
Another first here for Purple Comedy. It's our first film review. I went to see Mike Leigh's Another Year last night. And quite frankly, it was the biggest load of pish I've seen for years. That's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. It's a load of middle class people standing around talking about why they're worried about their lives. And you think it's bad about three quarters of the way through, and then they go to a funeral, and you realise that the first three quarters of an hour was really exciting. Here's a little clip from the movie.
Do come in, Mary. You can have a tomato sandwich.
Oh, thank you. Can I sit down?
Yes, you can sit down.
My life's in ruins. I've got no man.
Oh, I see. Have another tomato sandwich. I grew them myself at the allotment. Me and, Jerry. Yes, they're very nice.
Where's your wife?
Oh, she's dead.
Dead?
Yes, she threw herself under the wheels of a Marks and Spencer's trolley rather than appear in this film.
Oh, I see.
Let me assure you that, you will have something better to do rather than watch this film. So that's Purple Comedy's first film review.
You're listening to Purple Comedy.
Now, for quite some time now, I've been trying to lure an Irish comedian to come on the show because there's quite a thriving comedy scene in Ireland, and I did want to talk to somebody. So eventually, I've managed to persuade Finbar Coveney to come on the show. And without further ado, we're going across to Waterford in Ireland, and here is the amazing Finbar. Well, we've got a special feature on Purple Comedy now. We're actually going into the virtual studio, and we're having our first discussion with an Irish comedian. And I should have checked: is it Finbar Coveney?
Coveney.
And people call you Finchy. Is that right?
Finchy, yeah, they do. That nickname has been around for about 6 or 7 years. do you want me to explain how I got it?
I shudder to think, but go on, yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole American Pie moment. You remember Shitbreak that was on it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, him. Well, his nickname, or his name was Finchy on it, but he was with Stifler's mom.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not going to condone nor accept liability for it, but something like that did happen to me in my younger days, and somebody found it out, and straight away they called me Finchy, and it kind of stuck.
Oh, I see. You had a sort of, you're telling me you had a sort of graduate experience. Is that what you're saying?
It was more of a present from my ex-girlfriend's mother, more than anything else.
A gift. But, a gift.
Yes, pretty much. She was emptying the dishwasher. I gave her a quote-unquote a hand.
Uh-huh.
And that was it. It was only 32 seconds long, but still.
Oh, that's longer than I can manage, 32 seconds. And so that was the, is that like code in your house? I'll just go and empty the dishwasher?
Well, not in my house, no. I'm still living at home.
Oh, right. Okay. And so you live in Waterford, yeah?
I do, yeah, down in the southeast.
Oh, right. Tell me a bit about Waterford. What's the most striking feature about Waterford?
Its accent, I think, is a bit strange because, I don't have a Waterford accent. I'm originally from Cork.
Ah, okay.
So my Cork accent is gone as well. I don't have a Cork accent or a Dublin accent. I have a bit of everything.
Okay, but you know what I mean? I see. So what's weird about the Waterford accent, then?
Nobody can quite understand it.
Not even the people from Waterford?
Not even the people of Waterford, no. You try to get on a bus, and he said to you, where are you going to? And you don't have a clue what he just said. You know, you just hand him money, and hopefully he might give you a ticket, and you get off at the right stop. it's a dodgy situation to be in, especially if you're not from here, you know?
Yeah, so you basically people communicate by sign language. That sounds like the best way to do it, is it?
Pretty much, and kind of groans and moans, you know, like, and it seems to work for them, you know?
So absolutely.
It took me a while to get used to it, but I got there.
That sounds good. And I've actually been on a virtual visit to Waterford, and you've got a big river running through the place, is that right?
Ooh, it's called the River Shore.
The River Shore?
It's slightly green in colour.
I did notice that. Yeah.
So that's the advantage of Google Street View.
It is.
You can see all the details of particular things, but you will notice if you try and bring, you know, the little orange man that's in Google Street.
Absolutely.
If you bring him in some parts of Ireland, he won't land on the street. He's having fucking none of it. He will not go down. it doesn't exist.
He's afraid. Disdains it, does he?
Oh, completely. He said, I'm not going there. There's nothing there for you to see. You don't need to go there on your journey. Just stay away from it. And, you know, it's crazy. But Waterford is a nice place. The River Shore wouldn't be swimming material now, but we do have two bridges going across.
I spotted the bridges. Yeah, they're quite handy, though, aren't they?
Well, of course.
Is it not a bit confusing calling the river Shore? Because I'm going go ahead.
It's Irish.
Well, it would be, of course. You've been in Ireland.
that's true. Oh, my God, am I?
Has it come as a sudden shock to you? I'm terribly sorry about that.
It did. Oh, I'm sweating now. But it's see, there's three rivers that go into the main river in Ireland. The longest river in Ireland is called the Shannon.
Right.
And the Shore is one of them. So they're all kind of interconnected and stuff like that. But, you can actually sail now from Dublin in a very small boat of some description. From Dublin, the whole way down to Waterford, inland, through the locks and the connecting lakes and rivers, all the way through all the connecting rivers. So it's good fun.
All the way from Dublin. And how far, I mean, you have to forgive me, I have no idea. How far is Dublin, then?
By boat?
Well, by any means.
It's 90 minutes up the new motorway.
Ah, right. So, and about 4 days by boat, I'm imagining.
4 weeks.
Is that it? So now you're obviously, you've been doing stand-up for a while, I understand?
I have, yeah. Well, actually, it depends on where you see it. I've actually only been doing it maybe about 14, 15 months, but I've been getting a lot of gigs, and I kind of went up through the ranks very, very quick.
Oh, right.
I don't particularly know how or why, but for some reason people seem to like what I have to talk about, you know. But I love it. I absolutely love it. I was a sailor for 5 years.
Oh, right.
Before I became a stand-up, and it's a completely different job altogether, you know. But,
there's not a lot of water involved in being a stand-up, is there?
Well, unless you get a joke wrong and somebody has a pint in front of you, but other than that, it's not too bad.
Comedy's a lot drier than being a sailor. I noticed that myself, yeah. So where do you do your gigs then?
all over the country. That's the thing. I do a lot of MC work than I do stand-up as
oh,
well.
Oh, right. And so you're pretty busy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, what day is today? Today's Sunday. On Tuesday, I'm in Dublin. Wednesday, I'm in Dublin. Friday, I'm in Kerry, which is like, there's like a 230-mile distance or something
okay.
in between.
Okay, oh, jeez.
And it's crazy traveling. There's places in the middle of nowhere. If you go onto Google Maps
yeah, yeah.
and look for Cavan, mm-hmm. you'll see. I did a gig in Cavan 2 weeks ago. It's like you going from London to Manchester, but in Manchester, there's nothing there. It's just one pub next to a little lake, and you got to do a stand-up gig. I get called for gigs in the most random
So, but it sounds like there's quite a thriving scene over in Ireland right now.
There is. The Dublin comedy scene itself is Jesus. Every street you go onto in Dublin City within a 5 mile radius is a comedy club.
Really?
But as you, but yeah, they're everywhere. But as you go outside Dublin, they become more infrequent. But in all the major towns, you'll find somebody who runs comedy clubs.
Yeah, well, even the little towns, someone runs comedy clubs, do they?
Yeah, even the places that are not even a town there. It's just a bar. They want comedy.
There's nothing there. It's just a wasteland with a comedy club sat right in the middle.
That's it. I've often seen a guy do a comedy club in a field. He set it up. There was 30 seats. He had a petrol generator running the speakers and microphones. And people love it because, you know what? Comedy is the new band. You go out
okay.
and write a Saturday to go see a show, and music is only direction. You don't really have to be looking at the band.
No.
But in comedy, they want to be entertained. I mean, look at X Factor, for God's
sake. Well, exactly,
yeah. You know what I mean?
You're probably better if you don't, you know? And so I mean, the Irish like to talk, don't they?
They do. Some people shouldn't, but they do. I think it's our charm. It's kind of what we do best, because if all goes wrong for us, which seems to be happening
right now, yeah.
The IMF, and God bless them. But if something goes wrong in Irish culture, we have a way of talking our way out of the situation really, really well.
Yeah, that sounds really useful. So, I mean, obviously the Celtic Tiger, or whatever it was, has gone down now, hasn't it? It's not even a pussycat anymore now.
No, it's roadkill. I'll give you a typical example, actually. A friend of mine, he's a cop on a motorcycle,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And he was on the bike one day, and I said to him, "Look, what's the funniest story you've ever came across while you're out on the bike?"
Uh-huh.
And he said, "I was out there one day, I was flying down the dual carriageway, and there was a white transit van in front of me, and he was speeding, so I put on the blue lights." So he went up to the van, and eventually the van pulled over, and he got off the bike, unplugged the lid, you know, the hands-free kit they have, and he did the cold kind of policeman walk, you know, that I know I fucking have you for something type of thing.
Yeah.
So he walked up, and he kicked, that's it, yeah. He kicked the tires on the way, make sure they were okay, you know, and got up to the window, and he looked in the window, and there was a guy, like a heavyset guy in the driver's seat, beating the shit out of like an 8-year-old boy. He was hammering him off the dashboard and cutting him with broken CDs and everything.
Oh, Jesus.
And he opens the door and he goes, "What the fuck do you think you're doing?" And there was it was actually a traveler, is what it was. And he turns around, and as cool as a fish is fart, he turns around and he says, "You wouldn't believe it, boss. He's after eating the fucking tax disc out of the window." And that just shows
brilliant.
We can talk our way out of anything, you know.
That's a great saying that you've got there. "As cool as a fish is fart." I think that's fantastic. I love that one.
It works. It seems to work anyway.
You can imagine seeing the bubbles, can't you? I actually, when I visited, my virtual visit, I saw there's a pub called The Grattan in Waterford. Is that any good?
Oh, in Waterford, yeah, that is. It's a good spot to go to. It'd be like a pre-pub. A pub you go to before the nightclub.
Ah, okay, okay.
Have a drink, and then you go to the nightclubs. But the Grattan's pretty good. Yeah. You were in Waterford before, were you?
The unfortunate thing on Google is you can't actually walk in and buy a pint, you know. But I think that's the next step.
It is the next step.
It is.
Yeah, they'll be taking your money through the computer, and it's, "Oh, do you want a pint?" It wouldn't be a realistic pint, and you can never give out about the quality or the taste of it.
That's the problem. Yeah.
You know, what's in your pint? I don't know. I've bad reception here with the dongle. I don't know what's working, but it'll. I think with technology these days, it's just gonna go far beyond. Actually, I was talking to some guys last night. I was at a 40th birthday party, and we were talking about technology.
Yeah.
And I said, if you asked a guy, "Can you play a video game off of a cassette tape?" They'd say, no, it can't be done. It can't be done." But if you go back 25 years ago, do you remember the Commodore 64?
Ooh, dimly. You weren't born 25 years ago, were you?
No, but they used to send me memos.
Oh, okay, memos in the womb. Yeah, I used to get those. Yeah, okay.
But that's the way technology is going. You know, it is going to super.
When we've got there, we'll have actually got there when you can download a pint. Pint of Guinness downloaded through the computer. We've got it. There'll be no need to leave the house at all.
No, you get drunk and, you know, probably cost you cheaper as well because there's no tax on the internet. Not yet, anyway.
Maybe
the IMF might put it on.
And you won't have to worry about it. Well, the IMF, I'm sure, will put it. You won't have to drink and drive, and you just sit there. So tell us about some of the your favourite comedy clubs in Dublin then. What sort of clubs do you play?
I did a gig in the International there back in the end of September, and it was absolutely fantastic. The room was packed. There was people sitting on the stage. It was just absolutely jammers packed. And it was like they were kind of paid to laugh, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, shit,
it was like,
yeah.
It was too easy, you know. But it was really, really good because I could have sneezed and they would have laughed.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's pure comedy over it, you know what I mean? But I love the International. Also, I love doing a gig in She Bean Chic.
Uh-huh. What's it called? Sorry, She Bean Chic?
Chic, yeah, downstairs in She Bean Chic, they do a Sunday gig called the Comedy Crush.
Uh-huh.
And you get free ice cream at halftime and cheap pints for the comedians. It's great crack, you know.
That sounds.
So a lot of the comedians, when they're not gigging, actually go to that venue just to hang out with the other comedians and we have a laugh. So it's good fun. It's good fun.
Oh, that sounds really good. There's obviously a really thriving comedy community in Ireland. You know, you get that impression just from looking on Facebook, you know.
Yeah, we're everywhere, unfortunately. You know, it's hard to get jobs these days.
Yeah, you turn. Well, it could be something to do with the depression, you know. People turn to comedy in hard times. But
that's it. I mean, to make somebody laugh and when they're feeling the fact that they can't have a job and they can't pay their bills, just to make them smile once or make them giggle once, you've done your job.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. That sounds pretty good. And you're talking about jobs. I believe you're starting a radio job soon, is that right?
Yeah, I'm starting a radio an internship with Dublin City FM. It's kind of like my first step into full-time radio.
Okay.
I can't wait to do it. You know, it's something I've always kind of wanted to do since I started comedy. But I do kind of radio jobs on and off. I do kind of like voiceovers and ads, basic stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want to get into presenting. I love presenting. You know what I mean? Pushing buttons. Nobody can see who you are. It's great.
Yeah, no, nobody can see what you look like. I'm sitting here, dressed in complete pigskin at the moment, you know? But they can't see it.
You don't even know what I'm dressed in. You know?
Sorry?
You don't even know what I'm dressed in.
No, I don't even want to know. You know, over there in Waterford, it sounds a pretty wild place, you know? So that sounds pretty good. So you're looking forward to your radio job?
Yeah, look, I'm actually more looking forward to moving to Dublin because a lot of my gigs are in Dublin and I travel a lot up and down to the gigs. And I drive a motorbike, but the motorbike's out of action at the minute. There's some parts that I'm waiting for. So I'm on the bus a lot.
Oh, right.
So I have a tendency to read so much. Like, I haven't read since I finished school, you know. So I needed something to do on the bus. Well, so I started reading.
You gave up reading when you left school, did you?
You don't need to read, you know. All you need to do is learn how to drink and speak. That's all you need to do over here, and you'd be grand.
Well, that's right. So all that sounds pretty good. Is there anything that you wanted to plug while you're here? Any particular gigs? When's your next gig?
Well, I got a gig Tuesday, and it's called the Underground Comedy Club. It's a new, actually, it's an old club, but they stopped because the bar they were having it in closed down.
Okay.
So they had the venue. But that's on Georgia Street in a place called The Globe.
Okay.
On Wednesday, I'm in... Jeez, where am I Wednesday? There's a bar on the top of Cable. I'm actually the worst person to asking about where I'm going because I don't know until the morning.
You're the last person to know. It always comes as a surprise to you, does it? You walk in a pub and they hand you a microphone. You think, oh, fuck, yeah, I remember.
I know I'm supposed to do something here.
Oh, it's here for a reason.
But, there's a few gigs coming up, and I also run a couple of comedy clubs myself.
Oh, right, cool. Okay.
Myself and another comedian called Tom the Bear O'Mahony started up a company called Bear Finch Comedy Promotions, just to bring comedy to places where you wouldn't really find it, like the smaller towns and places in Ireland, and hopefully bring comedy as a venture to these people.
as a gift, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As a gesture of goodwill, yeah. Comedy where you would normally find it, like places of underwater and places like that. Yeah. Okay.
What I was actually chatting. To
Don't tell me there's an Irish gig actually held underwater.
No, but there will be because I want to do 10 of the weirdest places to do comedy.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
this idea came from the whole one that was in the field. Like, I want to do one in the back of a 40-foot container on the move. That should be fun. The underwater one should be good as well, although we might have problems with the speakers. There's loads of different ideas that we want to do, but I think over the next 6 months, we should have a plan drawn up to get 10 of the weirdest gigs, so I'll keep informed on that.
That's one. Something we definitely want to follow on Purple Comedy. Yeah, that sounds really good. In fact, Austin Lowe, who sometimes comes on Purple Comedy, he did a gig at the top of the revolving tower in the Glasgow Science Centre. So, and I think, what did we do? We did a podcast from the ferry going across to the Orkney Islands and things like that. But, you know, all that sort of stuff's good crack. Anyway, that was really good, Fetchie, and wish you all the best with your new job. And do keep in touch about trying to find your unusual places to gig, because that's something we certainly would like to report on the Purple for you.
Most definitely, John. And if you ever do come over, give us a shout, and we'll make sure that you'll forget everything you've ever done over
here. I'm constantly trying to forget everything I've ever done. Okay, that's been Finbar Coveney on Purple Comedy. Thanks very much, Finbar.
Cheers, see you later, John. Good luck.
Okay, that's cool, man.
You're listening to Purple Comedy.
Well, I'm going to have Cornball Willicock on the show fairly shortly, but before he comes on, I'm hesitant, really, to be quite honest, whether I should talk about this, but I think I will. I think I feel ready, you know. I've got to be honest, it's a dark, dark secret of my life. I've never told anyone about this before, apart from one person, which will become obvious. And so, you know, the thing to do if you're embarrassed about something like that, well, you know, what you do is you put it on the internet and share it with the rest of the world, really. Once you've done that, you don't have to worry about it, do you? But I'm sure what got me going is I reckon other people must have done this, and I'd be interested to hear if you have. Now, I have at various times in my life been a sleepwalker, you know, and when you're a sleepwalker, sometimes you wake up in strange places, usually naked. I don't quite know why, but usually naked. Even if you don't sleep naked, you end up walking around in the nude. But I took it one stage further than that, because one night I awoke from the sleep state to find myself having sex with my girlfriend. Now, this did induce, I have to say, a moment of terror, because when I woke up, of course, I wasn't actually entirely sure that it was her. And we were sharing the house with the parents at the time, her parents, and it would have been mortally embarrassing if I'd taken myself a little walk into their bedroom and was shagging her mother. Or even worse, her father. But they're very polite people, their parents. I don't think in the morning they'd have mentioned it, you know. But you just had a very, very silent breakfast with their dad sitting there in a rubber ring. But anyway, I looked down, and fortunately, much to my relief, it was my girlfriend. Now, this was, it did embarrass me a little bit at the time, I must admit, because, you know, the act of lovemaking, you're consummating your relationship. And I think, well, it's at least civil to be conscious during the act, you know. But I was all right, actually, as it turned out, because when I looked down, she was asleep as well. Here's Cornball Willicock III. Hello, Purple Comedy. This is Cornball Willicock III coming to you from the Swamp Cast. Now, I'm about to impart to you some of my wisdom, what I have gathered over the years. Now, I'm going to talk to you about the American penal system, people. You may not know, but in America, we have almost 2 million people locked up. Some of them may have done little things, some of them may have done big things. You do three things in America, the three-star strike rule applies, and you're locked up, my friend. And we're still, despite locking up 2 million people, have the most violent society in the world. Well, I just think that's something to be proud of. Now then, you may think that we are too harsh upon the people, our criminals. No, no, we're not. We are too lenient. Do you know this? It costs $657.14 to keep a man alive in prison for a week. Costs 47 cents worth of electricity to execute him. You work it out, I reckon there's the solution. Another solution I comes up with,
Afghanistan, you need an army? We got 2 million murderers, thieves and cutthroats we could send over there. We'd win by force and numbers. Before I go, I just want to leave you with one of my grandpappy's sayings. He was a very wise man. He said this when I was sitting on his knee. Boy, he said, always remember, it is better to have a friendly neighbor laying shot dead in your garden than having an angry burglar on the porch. In other words, in a discussion, there are frequently rights and wrongs, but you'll always find that the man with the pump-action shotgun is right in the end. I've been Cornball Willicock III, ladies and gentlemen. You have yourselves a good Christmas. Oh, because we in the USA, we've gone to hell in a handcart. I don't know what a handcart is, but I know what hell is. I've been to Florida. Things is pretty bad here. We got that president. What's his name? Oh, yeah, Obama bin Laden. Pretty bad. And on top of all that, the man's a n***.
What colour is it?
It's purple, sir.
Purple?
Yes, sir.
And it's comedy, you say?
Yes, sir.
Purple comedy?
Yes, sir.
Good God!
Thanks to Cornball there. let's move swiftly on, I think. This is our Christmas edition. It wasn't meant to be, but things have built up on me. I haven't got much to work done, and I just haven't managed to record it. So this is going out probably on Christmas Eve. How nice. Well, if you're listening to this and you're having your little Christmas, or you're about to have your little Christmas, I do hope from Purple Comedy that you have a good one. And before I go, a couple of things. I'd like to have a shout out to Lisa Graham and Emily from the Sea Venues in Edinburgh, who gave us such support and such help with me little play about Aleister Crowley. So thanks very much to everyone who staffed Sea Venues in the Edinburgh Fringe this year. And also, before I go, one last thing. Thanks very much to Finbar Coveney for coming on the show. He's a very modest man, is Finbar, because I discovered, he never even mentioned it, I discovered that he just walked 120 miles to raise money for a young girl who suffers from diplegia. It's a charity called Help Kaylee Walk. And, Finbar, help them raise the money to send this young lady to America to have some treatment that she obviously very much needs. And, obviously, at the moment, Kaylee obviously has difficulty walking. But, you know, let's be fair. There's a video of her on YouTube, and she very clearly doesn't need your sympathy, but she could do with a bit of your cash, to be honest. So come on, purple people, it's Christmas. There's thousands of you out there, I know there are, all over the world. If you send her a yen or a few dollars or whatever currency you happen to have lying around, I'm sure it'll help her. She's got enough money now to go and have the surgery she needs, but I think Kaylee also needs some physiotherapy equipment and help, obviously, after her operation. So do follow suit, follow the example of Finbar Coveney, and make a little donation. I'll put Kaylee's website on the front page of this podcast. So I do hope you've enjoyed Purple Comedy tonight. It's been nice bringing it to you, and I really hope that you have a nice Christmas. Thanks very much, and I'll see you in the new year. Bye-bye.